First Peter chapter 3, and then once you get there, hold your place there, and then turn to Ephesians chapter 4. All right, so we have 1 Peter chapter 3, and then Ephesians chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 3, let's read that first. So go back on over to 1 Peter chapter 3 and look at verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands. How many of you are a husband here tonight? Say amen. Amen. Very good. How many of you are not a husband yet, but you're looking to be a husband? Say amen. All right, we had one or two. All right, good. Well, I'm glad you're here. I believe we could take something away from this. Ephesians, or 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, that's the wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 23. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I want to talk tonight just simply, the message is entitled Husbands. Husbands, we're going to talk about the role of the husband tonight. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Be with us. Speak through your word. In your name I pray. Amen. Now listen to this very carefully as we lay the foundation. We've already laid three, we preached three services laying this foundation, all right? But I want just to make sure we're on the same page. First of all, a husband and wife are positionally and personally equal. Okay, a husband and wife are positionally and personally equal. Now, what does that mean? Husbands, you're not better than your wife. Wives, you're not better than your husbands. We are equal. Where's the difference, Pastor Creed? A husband and a wife are functionally unequal. Functionally unequal. Our roles or responsibilities are different. Our responsible roles should flow. Now listen to this. Our responsibilities as a wife or a husband, our roles as a wife or a husband should flow out of our love for God and our love for each other. Have you grasped that? Did you get a hold of that? Just a second. I'm going to read it again. Our responsibilities and roles should flow out of our love for God and our love for each other. These roles get mixed up and marriages crumble when our responsibilities, our roles flow out of our love for ourselves. Marriage breaks down when the responsibilities and roles come from the love for ourselves. Love for ourselves. And so what is the role of a husband? What are the husbands supposed to be? First of all, a husband in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, we're supposed to be a learner. A learner. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. You say, what does that mean? That means there needs to be some communication. Amen? All right, fellas, do you have a piece of paper? Men, do you have a pen? I need every husband to be able to write something down. Every husband, get something, write something down. Okay, don't sit there. Okay, sit, get something, write something down. All right, I want you to write something down. Marty, get a pen and a paper. Come on now. All right. Right, be able to write. Wives, get them something. Help them. Be a helpmeet now. All right, get them something. Make sure they're able to write something down. Now, here's what we're going to do. Wives, you cannot tell them. I'm going to ask them a question about you. They have to write down their answer. They cannot look to you, okay? They cannot get a hint. They have to write it down and keep up, okay? Are you ready? Brother Ronnie, you ready? Okay. What is your wife's ring size? Don't say anything, wives. Don't tell them. They got to guess it. All right. What is your? I hear talking over there, Marty. I'm going to separate you. All right. Number two. What is your wife's shoe size? I promise that's the last sizes we're going to ask. Okay. What is your wife's shoe size? Do you know? Write it down. Here's one. Fellas, what is your wife's love language? What is your wife's love language? You say, I don't understand the question. You need this message tonight, okay? What is your wife's favorite restaurant? What is your wife's favorite restaurant? All right, we're going to go a little bit faster. Are you ready? What is your wife's favorite dessert? That's important, okay? That is important. What is your wife's favorite dessert? All right. What is your wife's favorite song? What is your wife's favorite song? It's okay to laugh. We're having a good time tonight. Don't worry about that. What is your wife's favorite song? What is your wife's favorite book of the Bible? What is your wife's favorite book of the Bible? Don't put down all of them, okay? She's got to pick one. Ronnie, I saw you look at your wife. Don't look at her. Write it down, all right? No cheating here. What is your wife's favorite Bible verse? What is your wife's favorite Bible verse? What is your wife's favorite Bible verse? Who is your wife's favorite Bible character? Who is your wife's favorite Bible character? And here, one of the most important questions. Are you ready? Is your wife a morning bird or a night owl? Is your wife a morning bird or a night owl? No cheating. All right, ladies. All right, I need you to take the list from the fellas, and you're going to put a check mark by the right answers. Okay? You're going to put a check mark by the right answers. You're going to put an X mark by the wrong answers. Ready? Favorite, your ring size? Is that right? Shoe size? Love language? Restaurant? Dessert? Number five, favorite dessert. Favorite song? Favorite book of the Bible? Bible verse? Bible character? Morning bird or night owl? Okay. Do we got them? Do we got the totals? All right. Raise your hand if you have a total. I'm not going to call on you. Okay. I'm not going to call on you. All right. Now, fellas, I need you to raise your hand if you got five or more correct. Fellas, raise your hand if you got five or more correct. Very good. Five. All right, very good. All right, how many of you got seven or more correct? At least seven or more correct. Very good, very good. All right, anybody else? How many of you got eight or more correct? All right, very good. How many got all 10 correct? Anybody get all 10 correct? So we got...
How many women told their husbands they were right when they weren't?
That's next Sunday, okay? We're talking about ladies next Sunday, all right? All right. That was an example, illustration. Those are some good questions, aren't they? Spend time and ask your wife questions. Communicate with your wife. Speak to your wife. Fellas, isn't it interesting? We can go all day and we can put an engine in a car, we can put we can weed eat acres and acres and acres of grass and mow many yards, and we can put up lights and put a roof on, and we can be on the computer all day and make documents, and we can study and read and do all these things. But when it comes time to talking to our wives, we get lazy. No amens. I'll say, well, amen. We get lazy. Hey, guys, talk to your wife. A husband and wife were chatting with some friends when the subject of marriage counseling came up. Oh, well, we'll never need that. My wife and I have a great relationship, the husband explained. She was a communications major in college, and I majored in theater arts. He continued, she communicates well and I act like I'm listening. You will have to work at getting on the same page through communication. Now, we went through four laws of communication. We already talked about that. How many of you remember that? Four laws of communication. That was through conflict. Fellas, through conflict, we should lead the way in communication. Communicate with your wives. A mother thinks there's something strange going on and eventually decides to take a DNA test on their child. She finds out something very weird. The child is actually not related to her or her husband at all. The wife says to the husband, darling, there's something really important that we have to talk about. I did a DNA test, and Roger isn't our biological child. Husband said, of course he isn't. Don't you remember? We were just leaving the hospital, and the baby filled his diaper. You told me, go and change the baby. I'll wait here. It's important to listen and understand when you communicate. Amen? It's important to understand each other in communication. Husbands, this is something crucial that you need. This is crucial, and you need to hear this. You have no other best friend in your life, male or female, other than your wife. I'm going to say that again. You have no other best friend in your life other than your wife. Whether it's male or female. Male or female. Well, what about my friends, guys? I've known them for a long time. Hey, you're supposed to leave and cleave to your wife, not to your best friend, not to your friends. Hey, guys, spend time with your wife. Spend time with your wife, communicating with your wife. It takes work to study your wife. You should major in your wife. You should work to have a doctorate's degree with your wife, about your wife. Try to know her more. I know everything about her. I bet you don't. Keep on studying. Ladies, it's okay to test them. It's okay to give them a test every once in a while. But study. Take time and talk. We are to be a learner. We ought to work at learning and communicating with our wives. Fellas, watching a movie together is not communicating with your wife. Turn off the TV and talk. Talk with them. You be the one to ask the questions. I know some guys are smiling because they know what I'm talking about. Guys, you be the ones to ask the questions. It is getting hot in here. Can we turn down the heat? We need to be a learner of our wives. Learn them. Try to understand them. Ask the questions. Ask the questions. Number two, look at Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 25. I believe that there's an emphasis on this. Husbands, love your wives. We ought to be a learner. We ought to be a lover. We ought to be a learner. We ought to be a lover. What does that mean? Actively loving them. The love of a husband must be shown in tangible ways. You cannot just simply say, I love you, and expect her to believe you. There must be some tangible activity there. Actively telling her that you love her. The husband cannot bring up events in the past that are frozen in time to prove his love for his wife. He must continue to show through his actions that he loves his wife. Continues. Find out her love language. I know my wife's love language. I do. I've learned that. I know some of it at least. I'm still learning. What if my wife's love language changes? That's okay. Learn it. Adjust. My wife's love language, number one, is time. Time with her. All right? Which reminds me, I'm going to need a babysitter if you see me afterwards. I need a date with my wife. Time with her, right? Spending quality her having your undivided attention, quality time with her. Right? That's my wife's love language. In fact, I believe that's most women's love language. An undivided time alone with them. Another love language of my wife's, and this is chores taken off her plate. Am I right? Now, she's here. I can't lie. So am I right, sweetie? Yeah. Chores taken off her plate. When she comes home and the dishes are done, she feels valued. So when I go and I do the dishes, I'm saying I love you. When I go and I cook the meal for the kids and for the family, and she comes home and the meal is cooked and everything's ready, you know what I'm saying to her? I love you. I love you. And when I clean and vacuum and pick up, ladies, I'm helping you out tonight. You can say amen too. I'm saying to her, I love you. And fellas, we need to find out how we can say I love you to our wives that she understands it. She understands it. You ought to find out how your wife feels valuable. What makes her feel valuable to you? And do it. And not just do it once, but do it over and over and over and over again. Actively saying, I love you. Through your actions saying, I love you. Over and over and over again. And throw a little variety in there. Over and over again. What else? I need to be a lover sacrificially. What is the biblical view of love? What is the biblical view of love? Well, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, you know it. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith the Son of God. Now what? Listen to this. Who loved me and what? Gave himself for me. Now turn over to to Ephesians chapter, back to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number 25 again. Husbands, love your wives even as what? As who? Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What is love? Let me tell you what love is not. Fellas, love is not a romantic feeling. Love is not a romantic feeling or physical attractions. That's not love. Love is not needing or benefiting. Oh, I love you because you give me this good feeling in my life. You listening, teenagers? I love you because the way you make me feel, that's not love. I love you because I can't live without you. No, that's not love. Love is not being in love. It's not being in love. Oh, I'm so, when I look at you, I'm just in love. I'm walking on cloud nine. No, that's not love. Love is not something you jump in or out of. It is a choice that we make. Did you hear that? Love is a choice that you make. And when you make that choice, you commit to that choice. Did you hear me? You've chosen, fellas, you've chosen to love that lady. And you need to commit to love that lady. But what is love? I want to give you a definition. I got this definition from Stuart Scott's book, The Exemplary Husband. Exemplary Husband. Love is a selfless and enduring commitment of the will. It's a selfless and enduring commitment of the will to care about and benefit another person by righteous, truthful, and compassionate thoughts, words, and actions. Let me read that again. A selfless and enduring commitment of the will to care about and benefit another person by righteous, truthful, and compassionate thoughts, words, and actions. True love is always thinking of the other person. True love is like God's love for us. We are to love our wives like Christ loves the church. Now, this means that love is enduring. This means that love is verbalized. Love is enduring, Psalms 106:1. Love is verbalized, Jeremiah 31:3. Love is compassionate, Psalms 112, verse 4. Love is demonstrated by action, Romans 5:8. Love does what is best for us or for your wife, Romans 8:28. Love itself is sacrificial, John 10:11. Love involves treasuring us, Luke chapter 15. Love is not based on performance. Did you hear that? Love is not based on performance. Fellas, Psalms 103, verse 10. We ought to love her according to knowledge in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Know her likes, her dislikes. How do we love our wives? Well, tonight we define the love. Understand that definition. Define. Love defined. And then we determine to love our wives. Make a decision, no matter how long you've been married and what has been done in the past, that you're, from now on, you're going to truly love your wife with a biblical love. Okay, not a worldly love, a biblical love. And then display that love. Define that love, determine that love, display that love in a variety of ways. I remember, we still do this quite a bit, my wife and I, we had this thing. We'll give each other a gift. And I'll bring her a coffee, her favorite coffee, with a little bit of coffee and a lot of cream and sugar from Starbucks. And I'll drop it off, and on the side of it, I'll have written S-H-M-I-L-Y. And that's acronym for See How Much I Love You. And so I'll do an action. We'll do an action, and then that'll be displayed, and it'll just show her that, hey, this is how much I love you. That's just an action. But what I want her to know is that, hey, I love her. I'm doing this action because I want you to know that I love you. And then she'll do something for me, and then she'll text me, smiley, see how much I love you. He said, what's that mean, Pastor Greg? What's that talking about? That's displaying your love for each other. That's displaying your love for each other. Find a way to display your love, husbands. Find a way to display your love for your wife. We see that you're supposed to be a learner. We see that you're supposed to be a lover. We also see that you're supposed to be a leader. A leader. You know, in today's society, there's a natural man that puts themselves up as a leader. They have an idea of what a leader is. And then there's the spiritual man and the biblical leader. And so let's look at these. First off, there's the natural man is self-confident. Natural man, self-confident, walks around self-confident. Now the spiritual man has confidence in God. Spiritual leaders, confident in God. Now there's the natural, knows a lot of men, knows people. The natural knows people. The spiritual leader knows God. May know other people, but knows God most of all. The natural seeks to make own decision. The spiritual seeks God's will with all decisions. The natural has known ambitions. The spiritual has self-inconspicuous. The natural originates own methods. The spiritual finds and follows God's methods. The natural enjoys commanding others. The spiritual delights to obey God and loves to see others follow God. The natural is motivated by personal considerations. The spiritual is motivated by love for God and love for man. The natural is independent. The spiritual is God dependent. What kind of leader are you? You mean a natural leader, or are you going to be a spiritual leader? Natural man or spiritual man? Let me say this. Poor authority is the cause of many conflicts in marriage. Poor authority is the cause of many conflicts in marriage. Let me say this, fellas, first of all, your authority is limited. Your authority is limited. You say, Pastor Creed, don't tell it. My wife's sitting right here. It is. It is. Let me tell you how. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Did you hear that? For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. The authority that you have is God-given authority. You understand that? How many of you men, husbands, understand that the authority that you have in your home is given to you by God? It's by God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinances of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. The government has authority, however, they are limited as well. The same principle goes for us as husbands. Our authority in the home is limited. Let me give you some areas. Are you ready? You do not have the authority to sin. Fellas, you do not have the authority to sin. What are you talking about? A narcissistic leadership style is a sinful leadership style. Did you hear me? A narcissistic leadership style, I have the power, I'm the boss, is a sinful, prideful leadership style. And if I ever lead this church that way, you ought to kick me out. There's no place in God's house, there's no place in a marriage, a biblical marriage, for narcissism at all. You do not have the authority to sin. You do not have the authority to lead your wife or children into sin. You do not have the authority to lead your wife or your children into sin. You do not have the authority to ask your wife or children to sin. So, Pastor Greer, what do I have the authority to do? You have the authority to obey God. And that's simple, guys. That's very simple, isn't it? You have the authority, fellas, to obey God. Obey God. Secondly, we see that your authority is to be active. Your authority is to be active. For the husband is the head of the wife. Now listen to this. Even as Christ is the head of the church. Let me ask you this. Is Christ still the head of the church? Yeah. Yesterday, was Christ the head of the church? Amen. Tomorrow, will Christ be the head of the church? Amen. Fellas, yesterday you were the head of your home. Today you're the head of your home. Tomorrow you're the head of your home. It ought to be actively. You're active. And your authority requires you to lead. It requires you to lead. Well, Pastor Creed, we've been married for years. We're set in our ways. We've been married for 50 years, Pastor Creed. I've got him trained already. There's no way he's going to get untrained. We've been married for 50 years. I want you to know this. Just because you're not divorced does not mean you have a biblical or successful marriage. Did you hear that? Just because you're not divorced. You say, well, we made it. We didn't divorce. That's the world's standards. What's God's standard? I don't want to survive. I don't want our marriage to survive. I want our marriage to thrive. Then we have biblical standards. And the man has the responsibility to lead. You understand that? Men, take the leadership. There's nothing wrong with a strong lady. There is something wrong with a weak man. Lead. You have the responsibility to lead. Just because you have been married for a long time does not mean that you have been doing it right. I've been married for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, Pastor Creed. That doesn't mean you've been married and been doing it right. That doesn't mean that your marriage is a biblical marriage. Just because you're together doesn't mean it's a biblical marriage. It may have some biblical foundations. What do you mean? You're a man, she's a woman. That's a great foundation. Amen? You're still married. You wear the ring. Praise God. And I'm not downplaying this. I'm happy that you are married and that you have not been divorced. But don't use divorce as a measuring stick for success. We should want to thrive in our marriages. In 2005, the Guinness Book of World Records said that Percy and Florence Arrowsmith held two records: the longest marriage of a living couple, 80 years, and having the largest married couple aggregate age, and that's 205 years. Now, both Mr. and Mrs. Arrowsmith have since died, but they left good advice for those who want to have a lasting marriage. Florence said this: "You must go to sleep You must never go to sleep bad friends. If you've had a quarrel, you make it up. Never be afraid to say sorry. It's great advice, isn't it? Percy, slightly different, said a secret to a long marriage is two words, yes, ma'am. Now that may be a secret to a long marriage, but that's not the secret to a biblical marriage. And I want our marriages to be biblical. I want our marriage to be biblically successful. So fellas, we need to lead. We need to lead. We need the backbone to lead. You need to be a man. However, we have an example, don't we? An example, we are to lead as Christ leads, like a shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Now, I have this handout up here, so you don't have to write this down. If you want it, you can come get it. There's these handout right here. But I want to give you this, leading like the shepherd. Fellas, a shepherd knows where he's going. A shepherd knows how to lead lovingly. Did you catch that? A shepherd knows how to lead lovingly. A shepherd leads by example. A shepherd knows how to oversee. A shepherd is involved. A shepherd is diligent in his responsibilities. A shepherd protects. A shepherd provides. A shepherd instructs. A shepherd corrects. A shepherd seeks to restore the sheep. All those have a verse to go with it. I'd like you, every fellow, to get one of these, married, unmarried, looking for a wife. Everybody, every man that has a wife, looking for a wife, needs to get one of these. Needs to look these verses up. Study that. I want you to know not all bosses are leaders. Not all leaders are bosses. Husbands, we must be servant leaders. Christ was a servant leader. This is possible only by following an example of Christ. Leadership is not dictatorship. Leadership is not dictatorship. A prospective father-in-law asked, young man, can you support a family? The surprised groom-to-be replied, well, no, I was just planning on supporting your daughter. The rest of you will have to fend for yourselves. Now, the fact of the matter is, fellas, are you supporting your family? I'm not talking about financially, although that's important. I can probably take about 4 or 5 Sundays and just go over this subject. But you need to be a learner. Fellas, you need to be a lover, and you need to be a leader. That's your role. That's your role. He said, Pastor, what do you mean? I mean, step up and do it. There's no excuses. The biblical marriage begins with the husband.